Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Have you ever asked for someone's autograph? If you're the type who's into that sort of thing, what sort of people would you want an autograph from? Which people would you be most enthusiastic about telling your friends, oh, I got to have lunch with so-and-so or whatever? And how does that list of people square with the list of people God says are worthy of special honor? We're studying James chapter 2 today, and we're going to find out who God honors and who we tend to honor. Now, some theologians look at passages like this and conclude that salvation is strictly an issue of just economics and politics. They say all rich, powerful people are evil, and all poor, oppressed people are favored by God. And salvation, this is what they teach. They say salvation in the Bible is not a matter of personal faith in Jesus Christ. It's just a matter of freeing the poor from the tyranny of the rich in this world. That's a doctrine known as liberation theology, if you want to put a label on it. It's called liberation theology. It's taught by people like Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama's pastor. And they say the Bible is not concerned with spiritual salvation. It's an issue of political liberation and economic liberation. A similar error is committed by people like Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa devoted her life to helping the poor people in physical ways, but she refused to help them in spiritual ways. She said, here's a quote from her. She said, quote, "We never try to convert them to Christianity. If Buddhists or agnostics become, for this reason, better men, simply better, we will be satisfied." She didn't care about leading anybody to Christ. She only cared about relieving their physical suffering. Now, is that the kind of thing that James is promoting here? That God favors the poor just because they're poor and faith in Christ doesn't matter? Is that what he's saying? If so, then I'm not sure why we would ever want to help the poor financially. Right? Because if the way to get God's favor is through poverty, why would we want to ever help anybody escape poverty? That would be cruel. The whole view just violates common sense. More importantly, it violates the very passages of Scripture that they base it on, that they use to support it. James is very clear here that faith does matter. It is an issue of faith. Look again at verse 5. Does he say in verse 5 that God favors the poor regardless of whether or not they believe? No. He says, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in what? Faith. And to inherit the kingdom of God that God has promised to all those who love him. They don't inherit the kingdom because they're poor. They inherit the kingdom because of their faith in and love for God. It's just that their poverty puts them in a position to be more likely to have faith and love. But nobody goes to heaven unless he has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If a poor person rejects the gospel, he's just as lost as an unbelieving rich person. And if a rich person accepts the gospel, he's just as saved as a believing poor person. The advantage of being poor isn't that you automatically go to heaven regardless of faith. The advantage of being poor is that you are much more likely to believe the gospel when it becomes presented to you. So, that's James' description of the poor. Then in verse 6, he moves on to the rich. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Now, what is James saying there? Don't be nice to rich people because they're mean to you? Is that what he's saying? No, that's not his point at all. The issue here isn't how we're being treated as individuals. The issue here is the attitude of the rich towards God and God's people. That's the issue. If they were just mistreating us, that in itself wouldn't even matter because in ourselves, we're not anything special. But they're mistreating a group of people who are called by the name of Christ, and that's why it matters. Verse 7, are they not the ones slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Literally, the name called or invoked over you. That's what it means. The name that you received On the day you became a Christian, you received His name. I just last night witnessed my daughter go from being a Ferguson to a Stroud. She got married and she took His name. He gave her His name. And now she's a part of that family. Like a wife receiving the name of the man she marries, or a child receiving his dad's name when he's adopted, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us His name on the day that we came into His family. We bear His name. That's what makes us important. Somebody declares war on one of my kids, they declare war on me. If they declare war on my wife, if somebody declares war on any Ferguson, they declared war on me. When people mistreat Christians because they're Christians, they have declared war on the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have declared war on Jesus Christ, be careful what your attitudes are towards them and compared to people who are rich in faith. Why would we favor somebody who declares war on Christ and disfavor somebody who's rich in faith and who loves Christ? Why would we be enamored with celebrities? Aren't they the ones who routinely play roles in movies or write songs that mock the law of God and dishonor His name? And aren't they the ones that promote sleeping together before you're married and make homosexuality seem like it's perfectly okay? And aren't they the ones who promote selfishness and materialism and evolutionism and immodesty and the reversal of male and female roles? Aren't they the primary mouthpieces of the doctrines of demons in this culture, drilling those doctrines deep into people's hearts with their song lyrics and their TV programs and movies and their lifestyles? How do you think it makes God feel when those who are blaspheming Him are the object of our envy? We stumble all over ourselves to win their favor while neglecting the very people that God has chosen. James just wants to know, whose side are you on? I mean, that's basically what this passage boils down to. Whose side are you on? God has clearly favored this one group of people over that group, and if we come along in favor of that group over this group, what does that say about our hearts? They're out of sync with God's. Imagine someone hated your spouse. I mean, they just made a big public show of slandering your spouse or someone in your family, and they tried to hurt him or her every chance they got. How would your spouse feel if you were a big fan of that person and you stumbled all over yourself to try to be around that person? You wanted their autograph and bragged about being around them. What would that say about your marriage? Think about the people you're most enamored with in this world. The people whose autographs you would like, and the people you'd be all excited if they came to your church or if you got to meet them or have lunch with them. Who are those people? Are they God's enemies? And how do you respond toward the people God says He's chosen, the lowly people? Try to keep these principles in mind today as you go through your day today, and let it control how you think about the various people you run into today.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.